book this morning and take our text in verse number 25. The Word of the Lord says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Bible said it is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. It is in Christ that we exist. Our very existence depends upon the Lord. The old song said it right when it made the statement, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I remember as a child, as Sister Fonda Beaver singing the song, I can't walk without Jesus. I can't talk without Jesus. I can't do anything on my own. And I'm thankful for the help of the Lord. It is in Him that we live. Jesus said, because I live, ye can live also. It's in Him that we live. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that our life is Him with Christ in God. It is in Him that we live. My life is from Him. Jesus said unto Thomas, where we preached last Sunday, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is from Him. It is in Him. It is because of Him that we have life. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The born-again believer has a life-giving force living within me. How within each one of us has been saved, there is a life-giving force that dwells in us. He came, my friend, not to live in houses made by hand, made of brick and mortar and stone and wood, but rather He came to live in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls who would receive Him into their lives. We have, those of us who have been saved, have died with Christ on the tree. Our sin, our old man, the nature that we had before we met Him, was crucified with Christ and was buried with Christ. And when He arose, our old man remained dead, and our new life is found in the newness of life that is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His life, my friend, His resurrection gives us new life. I appreciate what Brother Scott said several years ago, probably been nearly 20 years ago now. He made the statement, and it's true from the Scriptures, that when Jesus died on the cross, all of the sin, all of the disobedience, everything in my life that I had done wrong was put into His body on the tree. He bore my sin in His body on the tree. And when He died, all of that died with Him. My sin, my disobedience, my rebellion, my ungodliness, it died with Him on the tree. When He was buried, it was buried with Him in the tomb. But when He arose, He arose by the power of God. And my friend, and my sin did not rise again, but He arose triumphant over my sin. My sin and the sin life of the past is buried with the Lord Jesus, but the life that I now live is by the One who loved me and gave Himself for me and now lives inside of me. I love the song that Doyle Lawson sings. He lives in me. He lives in me. Well, we sing the hymnal. You ask me how. I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I'm glad I have a liver living in me. You'll never know what it is to live until you have a liver. Amen. Matter of fact, it's anatomically impossible for you to survive without a liver. And it's spiritually impossible for you to live without a liver. You've got to have the liver, the life of Christ, dwelling inside of you. And if we live in the Spirit, oh my friend, I'm so thankful we can live in the Spirit of God. And that, my friend, now that we have received Christ, we are to crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. We're living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, living according to the power of the Spirit, and we are to crucify this old man, this old flesh,
with its affections and lusts, according to verse number 24. And now we live in the power of the Spirit of God, in verse 25. We live the new divine life, and it is supplied by the good Holy Ghost. The saint is to live the Christ-like life. And the only way that you can do that is in dependence upon the Holy Spirit for the power to live that life. You see, I've had people tell me I'll get saved when I can live it. But you can't live it. That's the thing about it. You are trying to say, when people say that I'll get saved, what they mean by that is I'll get saved when I feel like I can give up all the nasty things that I'm doing now, and I can live right and not be a hypocrite. But I'm going to tell you, friend, until you get saved, until God rescues you from the filth of sin and the enslavement of sin, then you'll never be able to live it. My friend, I can't live a Christian life of myself, but I have a life-giving force that lives within me. I have a help. I have a Heavenly Father who watches over me each day. The Lord will help you live it. You can't live it by yourself. You can't live it of yourself. You cannot live it, my friend, according to your own power. But you can live in the Spirit. Amen. Hey, thank God. I'm glad there's a living force that lives and dwells inside of me. I'm in love with my Savior, and He's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. Oh, what a friend is He. Watches over me while I sleep, hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be, and I now can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody. I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. And unless you get mixed up anywhere to who I'm talking about, the song said that somebody's Jesus, and I know He is mine. I live in Him. He lives in me. And we have a relationship. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You can have a Spirit-filled, victorious, joyous, happy Christian life, and God can dwell in you, and you can dwell in Him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. For John 15:7, we preached there just a few weeks ago, until you can live in the Spirit.
Amen. And then whenever we are saved and living in the life of God, we yield ourselves to His gracious prompting, my friend, and His life giving force works in us, and it produces fruit in us. That's what this chapter is about, is the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, and I know that folks don't mean anything by it, and I'm not squabbling over words, but the Bible does not say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is the production of a Christian life. When you live a Christian life, the product or the outcome, or my friend, the sum of your life ends up in these things that are mentioned. That fruit of the Spirit, that's love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And orderly that way, you must crucify the flesh, he teaches in verse 24, and then walk in the Spirit in verse 25. But I'm glad there is the life-giving force of the Holy Ghost, friend, that will enable you to do that. For without that, there is no way.
The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. It begins in verse number 9 and talks about ever seeing everybody ever committed. Some you hadn't committed, but you would have if you'd have been given the opportunity. Amen. That's exactly right. And it mentions the nastiness of the flesh. And he said these people that are living this life, it's manifest that they're not right with God. They are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But those, he said, that know the Lord, there is fruit that's shown in their lives. There's fruit meet for repentance. In other words, other words, it evidences their repentance. That's what John the Baptist talked about. How when you repent in your life and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this living in the Spirit will be a production inside of you. There'll be a factory set up in you, a farm that begins to grow within you, and you'll produce fruit. It'll show up. The reality of the work of God will be made manifested in your life.
It's impossible to have somebody as big and powerful and awesome as God is living in you and it not make a difference. Amen? That's exactly right.
We yield to His prompting, His gracious prompting in our lives. If you do not, your eyes will never be opened, friend. If you do not, your mind will never be enlightened. If you do not, your heart will not be affected. If you do not yield to Him, your feet will not be led. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, is not some mystical power that we can have and use for our benefit. My friend, I'd rather He is a living, loving person who longs to have and to use us for His glory. Amen. You remember the sorcerer who said to the disciples, I told the apostles, said, give me this power. I'll buy it from you with for money. He wanted to buy the power of God. But the disciples reminded him it was not for sale. I tell you, the Holy Ghost is not some mystical power that you can gain and use for yourself. But He is a living, loving person who's longing to have and to use you and to work in your life and to have a relationship with you. And you can live in Him as surely as He can live in you.
Living in the Spirit. That's what I'm preaching about in case you hadn't figured that out already. Living in the Spirit. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to give you three. And listen, there's so much we can preach on about this. It's inexhaustible. I mean, the whole semester is Bible college just to get through pieces of what I'm trying to tap a little bit of this morning. So I'm going to break this down in language that most of us that's got simple minds like myself can understand. Me and Brother Charles is volunteering for that this morning. Ain't that right? That's exactly right. Our heads may be pointed, but it don't mean we're sharp. Amen. That's exactly right. And so, friend, I want to give you three areas of our lives that must divinely be directed by the Spirit of God. If you're to live in the Spirit, these are three areas of your life will be directed by the Spirit. And if you don't yield yourself to the Spirit of God in these areas, He will not lead you and guide you and work with you in other areas. These are places or points of submission where you must allow God to work in your life. Now I want to preface all of that by saying one thing before I get into this. If you don't know the Lord this morning, you'll not understand some of what I'm about to preach on. If you don't know the Lord, you'll not be able to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. You must first yield yourself to Him in conviction and allow the conversion of God to work in your life, birthing you into Christ and to His family, making you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That when you trust Him with your life and give your life to Him, then, friend, He will operate within the arena of your life and your being and work in you mighty works. Hey, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm telling you, then God can do a great work in you. And He wants to this morning. If you're lost, He wants to save you. If you're living a lazy, lackadaisical Christian life, He wants to work in you and energize you to serve Him. Amen. If you're drawing away from God and are backslid on the Lord, have failed in your commitments to Christ, He's ready, my friend, to fan the flame of revival in your life and to let you live in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Well, so I want to show you these three areas of our lives where if we are to live in the Spirit, these three areas of our lives must be directed wholly by the Holy Ghost. First of all, He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Isn't that right? What He said in our text in verse 25 of chapter 5 of Galatians, if you flip back a page probably on most of your Bibles to verse number 16, the Scripture said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As someone said, I don't know how to tell if I'm walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, friend, and really walking according to the direction of the Holy Ghost, then you're not going to be operating according to the desires of the flesh. In other words, your sin life will show you your spirit life. Are you hearing me? If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll not be living a life of sin. Amen. That's exactly right. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, there's a war that takes place. There's an enmity between this carnal man, this flesh on the outward man that desires and loves sin, and the inner man, if you've been saved, where Jesus lives, and it desires to do that which is right, and there's a battle that takes place, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, the law was made to tell you what you have to do and can't do. The Spirit comes into our lives to let you know what you can do. Amen. Somebody said, I can't be a Christian. If I was to get saved, it'd be all these things I can't do. I'm going to tell you, being saved is not less of stuff you can't do. Being saved is a thing God delivers from things you don't have to do, and the empowerment to do the things that before you knew Christ you could not do. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. And if every sinner in the world really understood that, they'd give up where they are. They'd toss their sin in the garbage can. They'd discard the way they're living. Run to Jesus, beg to get saved. I tell you, thank God for the Spirit that lives in us and enables us to walk in the Spirit.
It's more than just a creed. It's more than just a declaration of faith. It's more than just a decision for Christ. But I'll tell you, being a Christian is an everyday life. It's an everyday experience. It's an everyday relationship. I mean, friend, it's walking with Him. It's talking with Him. It's experiencing Him. It's knowing Him. How the old song says, right? And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I'm His son. I tell you, knowing God is more than a list of rules. That's religion. Knowing God is a relationship with the sweet Holy Ghost, and He lives in me. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Every day of your life, your walk speaks of your everyday life. Walking is the manifestation of life. And if you're walking in the Spirit, it means that in your daily manifestation, my friend, in your daily existence, you're being led by the Spirit of God. That your actions, the steps you take, the words that you say are Spirit-led. My friend, I wonder if the things you do are Spirit led. Or is what I'm doing pleasing unto the Lord? So we talked about last Sunday night, isn't it? But many of them, God was not well pleased. Is what you're doing pleasing to the Lord? If you're not living by a Spirit led life, what you're doing is not pleasing unto the Lord. And so I want to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is both a privilege and it's a pleasure. Are you hearing me? It's a privilege and it's a pleasure. It's a privilege recognized, and it's a pleasure enjoyed. Walking in the Spirit is the principle, and it is the power by which our behavior is regulated. I'll get saved when I can live it. What you really mean is you'll get saved when you can walk it, and you can't walk it until you live it. And when you live it, that is, you let God live in you, then you can walk it. Amen. You can't be a Christian without Christ. Hey, my friend, Christian without Christ is nothing but un. Amen. You've got to have Christ to be a Christian. Some of y'all didn't catch that. You get it about 3 o'clock this afternoon and figure out what I just said. But friend, you can't be a Christian without Christ. It's essential. He is the way. We
know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Thomas, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Jesus is essential for this. That when you know Christ, He is both the principle and the power by which our behavior is regulated. Somebody said, oh, brother so-and-so, I sure think highly of him. That fellow right there is a fine man or a fine, that's a fine woman. They're good people. There's none righteous, no, not one. In me that is in my flesh is no good thing. There's no such thing as good people outside of Christ. But I'm glad, thank God, for the Spirit that is both the principle and the power by which our behavior is regulated. You know how I can be a good man? Let my steps be ordered by the Lord. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I can live in the Spirit. And if I live in the Spirit, I can also walk in the Spirit.
Amen. You want to live right, you need to first get right. And then when you get right, you need to live right. And when you get right, the Holy Ghost of God will dwell in you and help you and enable you and empower you to live right. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. Oh my, we spend so much time preaching to folks about everything they're doing wrong. And it's right preaching if it's from the Bible. But all that stuff of telling you what you're doing wrong won't help you do it right if you don't get Jesus in you. Amen. I mean, if you get Jesus in you and let Jesus work on you and the Holy Ghost stir in your heart, it's remarkable how He'll help you do right. Amen. That's right. He'll give you a desire to do right. He'll give change more than your habits. He'll change your want to. Amen. He'll give you the motivation to do what's right. Oh, yes, it's true. Somebody help me preach now. Don't dry set me. I'm preaching just right this morning. Hey, walking in the Spirit is the principle and the power by which our behavior is regulated. If we're partakers of the new life of which the Spirit of God is the author and finisher of our faith, isn't that right? My friend, in the practice of our outward life will correspond to the principles of our inward life. In other words, you do what you do because you believe what you believe and you are what you are. Amen. And the reason why folks drink is because they believe in it and they're drinkers. Amen. The reason why folks cuss is because they believe in it and because they're cussers. And the reason why people live for Jesus is because they believe in it. And my friend, they're saved. Are you hearing me? If you want to live right, you're going to have to get right. And then God, my friend, will help you live right. Amen. Walking in the Spirit. It is the enablement of the Spirit of God that lives in us that allows us to walk right. The reason why the crippled man at the gate couldn't walk right is he had the inability. But when Peter and James said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. My friend, he could walk right because he had been enabled by a supernatural force to do so. And if you want to walk right, you want to live right, you'll have to live in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All of your efforts to keep the law and to live right, your very righteousness, the very best you can do, is as filthy rags in the sight of God.
Amen.
Walking in the Spirit, I must, in order to do that, I must acknowledge His power. When the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the life of a believer, He becomes a source of power for his life. Hey, friend, and I acknowledge that. I admit my need of Him. I confess my longing for Him to work in my life. I must have Jesus. I must have His work in me. And Psalms 46 and 1 said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Acknowledge His power. Ephesians 6 and 10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Joshua 1 and 9, he said, I fear not, and neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God
is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen, my friend. I'm telling you, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Our strength is not in ourselves. Be strong in the Lord. Acknowledge His power. I can't preach without Him. I can't preach much with Him. But I tell you, sometimes He takes what I try to preach and makes something out of it. Amen. I'm telling you, I can't live without Him. I don't know what to do without Him. But I'm telling you, thank God. Through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ, which strengthens me. I thank God for the power that there is in the Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm going to get saved when I can live it. If you'll get saved, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what your background is. If you'll get saved, you can live it.
Amen.
The devil say you can't, but he's a liar and the father of lies. And he's been telling lies since the beginning. And the Holy Ghost says you can. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
You can. I can't quit this. If you'll get saved, you won't have to quit it. You'll get delivered from it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You might not be a real good quitter. That's bad when you ain't even successful at being a quitter, ain't it? You might not be a real good quitter, but the Holy Ghost is a real good deliverer. And He knows how to deliver you. Oh yes, acknowledge His power if you want to walk in the Spirit. Appreciate His purpose if you want to walk in the Spirit. His purpose is Christian liberty. His purpose is not to chain you up so you can't enjoy your life. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. His purpose living in you is the Spirit of liberty. Galatians chapter 5, we're still in the same chapter. Verse number 13, he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, He didn't come to save you and to put His Spirit inside you to put you in bondage. But don't try to use the grace of God as a license to sin. I use it for what it was sent for, to set you free from sin. And how can ye that are dead to sin, He said in Romans 6, live any longer therein? He came to give you liberty. Walking in the Spirit is not a matter of limiting your options. It's a matter of freeing you from sin chains. That is freedom from the yoke of bondage. According to chapter 5 and verse 1. As a Christian, what matters to me is not all the stuff I cannot do, but rather all the things I no longer have to do anymore. The freedom I have from sin and its power. Walk in the Spirit. You'll have to appreciate the purpose of it. Then to walk in the Spirit, you'll have to acknowledge the power of it and appreciate the purpose of it. You'll also have to accept the proclamation of it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know who's supposed to walk in the Spirit? Who's supposed to live a Spirit-filled life? Everybody that lives in the Spirit. You know who lives in the Spirit, don't you? Everybody who's received Christ. Walking in the Spirit and being a Spirit-filled Christian is not just for the preacher. If you live in the Spirit, if you live in Christ and Christ lives in you, then let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're going to say you're a Christian, it's time to live right.
Amen.
Are you hearing my preacher this morning?
The exhortation is to conduct yourself under the guidance and the energy of the Holy Ghost. Walking in the Spirit is a worthy walk. And may I exhort you and encourage you this morning to walk worthy of it. Amen. It's a worthy walk. Walk worthy of it. Oh, my friend, it's a winsome walk. A walk in love. It's a watchful walk. Walk circumspectly. Walk in the Spirit. Many only want to stand in the Spirit. They want to tell you all about what they stand for, what they believe in, all about their standards, all about what they think about everything. How many only want to stand in the the Spirit. That your stance represents what you believe. Your walk is what you actually do every day. You stand in the Scriptures. You walk in the Spirit. If there's anybody in this building believes in standing right, it's me. If I was to start preaching everything that I believed in, everything that I was convicted about, everything I think everybody else ought to do, and I wouldn't have nobody left in here by the time I got done this afternoon. You think you can take it, but I don't think you can. I'm telling you, if I wasn't sitting in, it'd scare you to death. But I'm telling you, listen, if I was sitting and preaching on all things I believe, I can't even keep myself, it'd amaze you. Oh, that's exactly right. Somebody say amen. Don't be sitting there with your horns holding your halo up. Amen. That's exactly right. But I'm telling you, it ain't about your stand. When it comes to every day, you can believe all the right things and do all the wrong things. But friend, I'm interested in your walk. Oh, stand in the Scriptures. It's right. But walk in the Spirit. It's a must. It's a must. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Accept the proclamation. It's for you. It's for you this morning. I don't know if that old time way is for me. Are you saved? It's for you. If you know the Lord, it's for you. Amen. 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 Well, I can keep on this. I got to move on. I got to quit here in just a minute. Walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, if we live in the Spirit, let us also work in the Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 said, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Your work in God and Christ, in the labor of your everyday life, is not by force and ability or earthly means, because men, my friend, are so readily attracted by these things that he said, "By my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." You see, he is almighty. His power is indispensable. All is vain except the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Human might can civilize, but it can never Christianize. Are you hearing me? Human might can civilize, but it can never Christianize. You can make people behave and treat one another in a civil manner by brute force. And my friend, but you can't make Christians out of it.
I'm not for this. I'm not for all this business of trying to coerce people into saying sinner's prayers to get saved.
You don't get saved because somebody got you to repeat some sort of foolishness. You don't get saved, but you're ready to surrender your all to Jesus under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Knock on your screen door, try to shock you into being intimidated into repeating my prayer so I can put another mark on the board. That kind of junk's foolishness. Jesus saves people when they want to get saved. He's a perfect gentleman. He'll not force his way into your life. That's exactly right. Amen. Now the Bible said he draws us with cords of a man and bands of love. He doesn't force his way into your life. You'll get saved when you want Jesus to save you, not before then. You don't get saved whenever you want to get saved. You ought to get saved when he's calling, but you won't get saved if you don't want to get saved. Are you hearing me? You cannot, friend. He will not force his way in your life. You can't force your lost love once you get right with God. You can't force other people to live a Christian life. You cannot coerce somebody else into being spirit filled. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? I can stand every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, preach on everything that moves, kick some stuff so it will. Preach against that too. You can sit in the church. You can even be in compliance. But it won't mean that you're in Christ. Amen. As a lot of our people in churches have sat in the pews and they're in compliance. I mean, they do all the right things to fit in. They do all the right stuff so as to blend in with the crowd. And they say they believe all the right things, but down in their hearts they don't know Christ. Down on the inside they're not living for God. I'm telling you, friend, you'll need more than just have somebody beat you over the head to get you right. You'll need the Holy Ghost to work it in your heart for you to get right with God. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? Are you
appear. I'm going to places I go and live in like they live. I'm start witnessing to them about the grace and love of God that can change them. Show them what God's done in your life. Evidence for them every day. Walk in the Spirit. Work in the Spirit. And when God the Holy Ghost comes on your life and He empowers you to testify. Oh, my friend, He gives you that gift to share with them what God's done for you. Do so under the anointing of God. And let the leadership of the Holy Ghost make a real difference in their lives. And it'll be remarkable what God will do.
Every time you see me grabbing, you know, you ought not be doing what you're doing. That's worthless. That's not your job. You weren't sent to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That was the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would come and He would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And He would testify. Jesus said He will testify of me. How about you? You've been trying to reprove everybody, straighten the world out. You couldn't even straighten yourself out. You ain't even sure what all your problems are, let alone how to fix them, and you trying to straighten everybody else out. If you get done with your own, then you can start on somebody else, but you won't ever get finished with your own. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, you are better at straightening out everybody else than what you are straightening out yourself. That's right. You've got more answers for somebody else's problems than you've got for your own. That's for sure. You know how to raise their kids. I can guarantee you that. Oh, yes. You ain't got none sometimes. You know how to raise their kids. Your kid's 70 years old and you know how to raise their kids. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Let God's Spirit work. When we work in the Spirit. I mean, if you do something, do it in the Spirit of God. Whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your might and do it for the glory of God. Hey, friend, and God will honor that and He'll bless that. I don't want to preach of myself and my own ideas and my friend and my philosophies and so forth. I want to preach in the Spirit of God. I want to challenge and charge every Sunday school teacher, assistant in this church, everyone that works with the young people and so forth. I want to charge you to do your work in the Spirit of God. You may have a creative idea, but it might not be time for God to let you use it yet. Be obedient to the Holy Ghost, and God will give you the words to say to these boys and girls that will season their hearts for the work of the Holy Ghost. My children's eternity may be resting on it. Take what you do very seriously and work in the Spirit of God. I want to charge every choir singer when you get up in the choir not to muddle through the songs, but to pray for the anointing of God on what we're doing. And let God work in you and use you in the singing. I want to charge our musicians not to just play with a pretty sound, but to play and ask God to bless their work and their labor and move in their lives. Are you hear what I'm preaching here this morning? Let us work in the Spirit. Oh God, let my witness be in the Spirit. Let my love be in the Spirit. Let what I tell others be in the Spirit. Oh, thank God. Help me to live and to walk and to work in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. The world can reform, but it cannot regenerate.
Right.
Worldly methods can bring temporary results, but it cannot effect eternal results. Paul said, I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Colossians 1:29. The work of God must be done in the power of the Holy Ghost and not the power of the human flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 begins in verse 1 this way. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your work must be in the Spirit. Your walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, I'm finishing with this one point. Your worship must be in the Spirit. If you're to worship God, you cannot worship God in the flesh. Now, I'm going to say something. If you're scared, come up here and get in my pocket. I'm going to say it in hell. I was looking during all this ice, and there's not a thing in the world to do. I was looking to see this new advertisement they had on the TV. Those of you that don't believe in TV, or those that are listening to this recording don't believe in TV, can throw the rock at me now. I was looking at the TV, this advertisement for the new God Network. I thought, well, now that's going to catch my attention. I want to see what that's all about. They ain't none of the rest of them on their God networks, I'll tell you that. And so now I turned on over there to see what was going. And what was recorded was the Brownsville, Pensacola revival. Wow. Amazing. They had a fellow out there in his blue jeans and T-shirt and platform shoes, bell bottoms and so forth. And him running through the crowd with about 20 people following him. Gracie come in there and she said, "Is he hurting them people? What's he doing them people?" I said, "It's all a bunch of foolishness." Running through the crowd, grabbing folks, blowing on them, and they'd pass out. That is either fake or it's the worst case of bad breath you ever seen in your life. Blow on everybody, then pass. And listen, hey, they're acting like it's passing out. They were sitting down and laughing. You know what that is? That is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we are warned from such to turn away. Amen. It is making a mockery. It is making a mockery of the things of God. And in my estimation, it borders on blaspheming the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You put on as if God is doing something and it's all a matter and a work of the flesh for the sake of human gain and to garner attention to an individual rather than to glorify God. I tell you, it borders on blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. If we are to worship God, we'll have to worship Him in the Spirit. Jesus said in John 4:23, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He said the Father seeketh such as to worship Him. And God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, lowercase s, and truth. In other words, that lowercase s is your spirit. If you worship God, your worship must originate not with your hands, but in your heart. You can wave your hand toward heaven all day long and your heart be dirty and black and rebellious. Amen. You can shout hallelujah with your lips on Sunday and curse God with the same mouth on Friday. Amen. But if you worship God from your spirit, my friend, then you can communicate with the Lord and it'll bring about a change in your life. Philippians 3:3 said we are to worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm preaching this morning? Our worship is to be scriptural, regulated by the light of the inspired Word of God. This worship means to attribute worth to an object. Our worship is literally the worship of Christ. It is the worship of God. Oh, how we are to worship Him. There are two sentences that tell us of the essential spirituality of worship. From John 4:24, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. This in spirit, lowercase s, tells us of the place of true worship. The spirit of man is the place where worship must originate. True worship comes not from religion or ritual or repetition, but from an honest spirit seeking a holy God. And then the essential spiritual nature of worship is connected with the fact that the Spirit of God is its sole energizing power. The place of worship is from the spirit of man to the spirit of God. The power of worship is from the spirit of God to the spirit of man. What do they call that thing when the energy in an electrical circuit goes one direction, comes right back again, goes right back again, and just stays alternating current? It just, hey, you can keep that alternating current going back and forth all day long. It runs from one right back to the other, back again. And that's the way it is between us and God. His Spirit works with our spirit, empowers us to worship Him. We worship Him. He inhabits the praise of our worship. He inhabits the praise of His people. And thank God He sends the power back down again. We send the praises back up. He sends the power back down, and we send the praises back up. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? That's what worship is. Worship is not your repeating of some creed. Worship is not standing and sitting and walking around and doing the things that everybody tells you to do at just the right time. Worship ain't a church service. There's a lot of folks been to church that hadn't been to worship. Amen. But thank God this is a good place to worship. And we are commanded to worship Him here. But I'm glad, thank God, when we get here from time to time, oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. He'll energize us and send us the power that's necessary to worship Him. And we send the praise back to Him, and He sends the power back down. Amen. And that alternating current comes from the Lord. We worship God in the Spirit. Worship is the springing up of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of the believers. And the same person and power which satisfies the thirsty spirit in salvation empowers the satisfied spirit to rise up in worship to the Father. And we worship Him from our spirit and in His Spirit. Christian worship outwardly is the result of an overflown spirit of man by the Spirit of God. Christ says that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must. Do you hear the divine imperative? Hey, worship Him. Must worship in spirit and in truth. If we live in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit. I'm finished preaching. Come on, son. This verse of our text this morning. If we live in the Spirit. You hear that first word? If we live in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit. Are you living in the Spirit this morning? Is the Spirit living in you? Do you know what it is to be saved? Do you know what it is to have God living on the inside? Do you know what it is to live in Him and He live in you? Do you know what it is to have a sweet relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what it is when you live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, work in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit? Does the Spirit of God live in you? Are you in Him? Are you sure you're right with God this morning? Let me ask you, if you're sure you're right with God, does your life show that you're right with God? I don't know what your need is this morning, where you are with the Lord. My responsibility is to deliver the message. Your responsibility is to deal with it when it's given. Now, what will you do with it? If we live in the Spirit. Stand to your feet if you need to come pray and talk to the Lord this morning about the needs in your life, where you are with God. Would you do so? She's going to sing for us. If you need to come, find your place in this old-fashioned altar. Kneel around this morning's bench and do business with God. We beg you to come and talk to the Lord this morning. Saint, sinner, life, you need to get right with the Lord. Need to get something right with the Lord. Need to address some area of your life. Don't waste a moment. Find a place at this altar and do business with the Lord. Say when you're ready, honey. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
talk to him.